Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called For Christmas, and this week Pastor Josh explains that the greatest gift you could give someone this year is to love them enough to give them the hope of eternal life. Enjoy the message.
You guys doing okay? It's good to see you guys. I'm glad that you're here with us. Hope you're having a great day. And I know we got people watching online right now. So would y'all do me a favor and welcome everybody who's online with us? Glad you guys are here as well. So, hey, you might be new with us. If so, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. And really glad that you've taken this weekend to join us, and definitely encourage you. If you're on campus, stop by the Connect Corner as we'd love to connect with you a little bit further. If you're online, then make sure you talk to a host, because they would love to get to know you, all right? And guys, I'm fired up about today's message and about diving back into this series. We've been talking about this idea of For Christmas. So just curious, how many of y'all would say you're for or you're in favor of Christmas? Are you with me? All right, some of you with me? Okay, that's good, all right, because it's coming. It's right around the corner. I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be excited about it. And this series, that's what we've been talking about. We've just been trying to help people understand this idea of being in favor or being for Christmas. So week one, we talked a lot about this idea of being for a Merry Christmas. That we say Merry Christmas all the time, but do we live it? And we said that if we're going to say Merry Christmas, let's make sure we're actually living it out and we're enjoying the Christmas holiday and doing the things we need to be able to make that happen. And I talked a lot about that week one, so you can go back and watch that if you weren't worth this that day. And then last week, we talked about this idea of saying that we are for Christmas stockings, all right? And my whole goal last week was that you would never see the Christmas stocking the same ever again. That many of us, probably I could say it this way, most of us, we have Christmas stockings at home. And our goal was that from now on, anytime you see the Christmas stocking, that you would think about this idea of, do I want gold or do I want coal? Do I want gold? If I want gold, then I need to make sure I get God, all right? So that was all last week. This week, we're going to change it up, and we're going to talk about the idea of being for Christmas gifts. Now, just curious, how many of you all are for Christmas gifts? Like, you like the idea of Christmas gifts. Really? That's it? Are y'all not with me this morning? Are you bashful? Like, I don't want to make it look like I'm selfish, okay? But I think we're all for Christmas gifts. I think we all like it. It's part of our tradition. And this is what I know that I want to do right now is I want to help you out a little bit, and I want to give you a Christmas gift. Like, I want us to all be for Christmas gifts. So as a church, we simply want to give everybody a gift right now. And I'm just going to warn you, it's a real nice gift. Like, real nice, all right? So it's pretty simple. All you got to do is reach under your chair or under your table if you're sitting around the outside, and there's a real nice gift for you, Clark. It'll take a moment. How many of y'all are excited about getting that Jelly of the Month Club? Yeah, you're like, okay, for real? And I know some of you right now, you're like, what in the world is this? Like Jay's just putting it back, like, I don't want it, okay? Oh, is that how you are? Just throw it at the preacher, like, this is a horrible gift. That's what you're thinking. Now, some of you don't even get it, because you're like, I don't even know what a Jelly of the Month Club is, all right? Well, you need to go watch Christmas Vacation. But you might not realize it, there is one card that is different. It's called the golden ticket. And somebody might have got the golden ticket. Anybody? The guy I knew is in this section. Yeah, give it up for her. She got the golden ticket. And the golden ticket's worth a little bit more than the Jelly of the Month card, because the golden ticket is free C3 coffee for 2021, okay? So yeah, some of you are like, dang it, I should have sat back there. But you can stop by the Connect Corner, we'll explain how all that works, all right? But anyway, like if you get it, like your Jelly of the Month, you're like, I don't really want to receive that gift. Some of you be like, man, I'll take the C3 thing. Like that's a good gift, which helps me explain a little bit of our message today. That I want us to all receive a gift today. And I want us to receive the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of Jesus. Like today, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this idea of giving and receiving gifts. That's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this idea of giving and receiving gifts. And we're going to start by talking about this idea of receiving the gift. And I want us all to receive the gift of Jesus. Now, I know some of you, you've been in church all of your life, and you've been here at the Rock for a long time, and you're like, well, I've received Jesus, so do I need to listen? Yeah. I'm going to take it a step further. I'm actually just going to preach one verse today. That's it. I'm not going to hit on any other verses. One verse. And the verse is probably the most familiar verse in all of Scripture. It's called John 3:16. And when I say John 3:16, I know that many of you who have been in church all your life are like, well, I definitely don't need to listen then, because I've heard John 3:16 before. But I want to change your thinking for a second. I want you to dial in, because here's my fear. I'm going to go ahead and tell you my fear. Is I believe there's probably many people that have been to church all of their life. You've been maybe coming to the Rock for a lot of years, and you're like, well, I've got Jesus. My question is, do you really? Like, maybe you've heard Jesus, but have you truly received Jesus? And I think if we'll look at John 3:16, we'll come to a good understanding of what it means to truly receive Christ. Which the benefit of that is, for those of you who are maybe brand new in your faith, maybe you're here and you're just starting to investigate this life with Jesus, or who this Jesus guy is. Well, it's a great message for you, because I want to explain what is often called the greatest scripture. I want to explain to you the simple aspect of what it means to receive Jesus. So to do that, let me talk about John 3:16. But for that, I want to go back a little bit. See, too many times we just hear John 3:16 and it's out of context. We don't catch the whole context of where John 3:16 came from. So let me give you the whole context of the verse. First, it's in a book of the Bible called John. All right, John was a follower of Christ, and he wrote down basically a biography of Jesus, because he said at the end of his life he wanted to record what he witnessed from Jesus. And it's chapter 3, verse 16, all right? Those are chapters and verses. We put those in later to help people find specific parts of the Bible, okay? When John first wrote this, he didn't have chapters, he didn't have verses. He just was writing a dialogue, all right? And the dialogue that he wrote down was part of a conversation Jesus was having with a man named Nicodemus. And this is where it's real important, because oftentimes we hear John 3:16 and we don't think about the context. But the context is a conversation that Jesus was having with a man named Nicodemus. And I believe that Nicodemus is very, I believe many of us in this room right now are just like Nicodemus. See, Nicodemus was a guy who loved God. Nicodemus was a guy who wanted a relationship with God. Nicodemus was a guy who walked out his faith, and he wanted to do what was right, and he'd actually helped other people with faith. He'd helped other people come to know who God was, all right? That's the kind of guy Nicodemus was. But then all of a sudden, he started to hear about Jesus. And he's like, okay, this isn't making sense to me. Like everything I thought I knew about God, now I'm hearing differently from Jesus, and I got to figure this out. And that's the reason I think that he's like many of us, because many of us maybe have a faith background, but you're really starting to try to really figure out who Jesus is. Some of you are brand new, and you're trying to figure out who Jesus is. And that's what Nicodemus was doing. And he came to Jesus late at night one time, and he said, Jesus, like, it's obvious that that you know God. It's obvious that you come from God. It's obvious that God is with you in some way. But he goes on to confess, basically, I can't figure out who you are. I can't figure out what you're saying. I can't figure out what your will is. Like, what are you trying to do? That's the context of the story. And in the midst of that, Jesus then continues to have the conversation, which takes us to verse 16. And in verse 16, he's looking at Nicodemus. He's saying, Nicodemus, I want you to get it. Nicodemus, I want you to get it. And that's what I have to say to you as well. I want you to get it. And here's what I want you to get. The same thing that Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said it this way. He said, God so loved the world. That he's in the midst of a conversation. He's like, Nicodemus, I want you to get it. And here's what I want you to get. God so loved the world. Let me stop right there for a second, okay? Let's pick that apart because it might seem real basic, but I want to make sure we understand it. That when we're saying God so loved the world, okay? We're not talking about how he loves the galaxy or he loves the planets or the sun. We're not talking about how he loves trees or flowers or horses or dogs, all right? We're not talking about that he loves cats, all right? Because we know he doesn't love cats. I'm getting things thrown at me from this side, and you're booing me from this side, okay? I love our church. But I mean, God might love some of those things outside of cats. He might love those things. But that's not what the verse is talking about. The verse, puberty. Woo! It's a good day, Rock! All right. The verse is saying that he loves people. That's what Jesus is trying to get at. He's looking at Nicodemus. He's saying, Nicodemus, let me start real basic. God loves all people. That he loves people. Nicodemus, he loves you. But I don't want you to think he just loves you. See, Nicodemus was a Jew, and Jesus was coming for all people. And he's like, I'm trying to understand this. And what Jesus is saying, he's like, listen, he loves you, and he loves the Jewish people, but he also loves the Gentile people, that he loves all people, that he loves you, Nicodemus, and you're a smart man, you are a leader, and you are wealthy, but he also loves those who are followers, he loves those who are poor, he loves those who aren't religious, that Nicodemus, he loves all people, which means he loves you. He loves you. And you might say, well, how can God love me? Well, he loves you, one, because it's his essence. That God is love. That we're not just saying that God has the characteristic of love. No, God is the character of love. That's who he is. That God doesn't have the emotion of love. God has the essence of love, because God is love. So God loves you because God is love. But God loves you also because you are his creation. That the Bible shares with us that God has fashioned us together, that God formed you. That you can go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, and it says that God created man, that he formed him, that he fashioned him, that he breathed life into him. That God formed, that God fashioned woman, that he breathed life into her, that God created you. God loves you because you are his creation. But it doesn't just stop at creation. It goes on a step further. God loves you because you are his child. That you are a child of God. That you are a daughter of God. That you are a son of God. And when you think about that, God's essence is love. He loves you as his creation, and he loves you as his child. That's how God loves you. And for the most part, this is what I believe, that all of you parents or grandparents in the room, you kind of get that. You can kind of get how that love happens, because as a parent, you love your child. Like many of you might know, but my daughter-in-law, Katie, she is pregnant right now. And as a lady who is pregnant, the minute she found out she was pregnant, she loved that child. She didn't have to learn how to love that child. She didn't have to think about loving that child. She loved that child because, in essence, she's helping create that child. And that child is her child. And then through ultrasound technology, then they find out it's a girl. So now the girl has the name of Keely. So now Katie and Clay love Keely because it's a creation and their child. And then I understand that from my side of life because my wife, her name is Krista. Krista loves that child because it is a part of creation that she helped create Clay, and now Clay helped create Keely, and also because it's her grandchild. And this is how I know that that child is loved. This child, Keely, has more Christmas presents under the tree than I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are more Christmas gifts for Keely, who is in the womb and won't come out of the womb till April. I will be there on Christmas Day, but Keely has more presents. Why? Because she's a child and she's created. And think about this. If we as parents and grandparents, if we know how to love, how much more does God love you? Amen. How much more? Because his essence is love. God loves you. And if you've ever questioned that in your life, then just think back to, he is love, I am his creation, and I am his child, and he loves me. And he loves me so much that he gave us his son. Look at this next part of the verse. It says this, that he gave his one and only son. That God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son. That he was willing to give up his child, himself. He was willing to give up his family for our salvation. That he loves you so much that he gave his son. Now again, go back to the conversation. Nicodemus is going, I'm trying to figure out who you are, Jesus. And as he's trying to figure him out, Jesus says, I'll tell you who I am. I am the Son of God. That when he's saying that, he's giving testimony to what God has already said. That God, when he was talking to Mary, said, you're going to carry my son. When God spoke to Joseph, he said, you are going to raise my son. That when Jesus was baptized into Jordan and there was a bunch of people around, the voice from heaven came, this is my son who I am well pleased in. That later, on top of a mountain, God's going to show up and he's going to say to Peter, James, and John, Jesus is my son. So God has declared Jesus as his son, as his essence, as who he is, as the family line. He's saying, that's my child, and I'm giving him to you. He loves you so much that he would take his son and give him to you and give him to me. He gave. That's what he did. He gave. He gave us his son who was born in a manger, who was hung as a criminal, who was buried as a commoner, but was raised as a king. You hear that? That God gave us his son, who was born in a manger, who lived as a man, who died as a criminal, who was buried as a commoner, but raised as a living king. Why? So that you could have life. Amen. That's it. See, God said, I'm giving you a gift, and the gift is life. That's what he said to Nicodemus. Go back to the story. It says this way, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That you'll have eternal life. That Nicodemus is alive at this time and he's trying to figure out life and he's living under Roman rule and there's all kinds of struggles. He's like, man, I got to have a better life. I need a better life. We got to figure this out. And I believe that many of us are the same way today, that we got to figure out how to live in this world. Well, the way that we live, the way that we find life is in Christ. Because what God knows is that we are separated from him. Each and every one of us, that we've been separated from God. Genesis 1, we are his creation and his children. Genesis 3, we allowed sin into the world. It's what Adam and Eve did, and we've done the same since then. And because of that, we are separated from God. And God said, I don't want you to be separated from me, so I'm going to give you the gift of life. You can have it. You can have this gift. And right now, this is what I want to say, is that there's some of you in this room that you don't have life in Christ yet. Some of you, maybe it's because you're brand new and you're just trying to investigate it. Others of you, you've been coming to church all of your life. You have been a religious man like Nicodemus, but you have not received the gift of life. See, this is what I think some of us do. We get this package from God and we're like, okay, I got it. Thanks. And we just hold it. Maybe we're like, oh, it looks good. Sounds good. Thanks for the gift. And we tuck it under our arm. I'm afraid that's what many of us have done. Guys, this isn't receiving the gift. I mean, think about it. Have you ever given a gift to somebody and they took it and they look at you and they say, well, do you want me to open it? The answer is always, yeah. I want you to open it. I want you to see it. I was talking to a couple of grandparents earlier this week, and they said, yeah, our grandkids came over like 2 weeks ago. We gave them their Christmas present. Like, opened it. Why? Because that grandparent wanted to see that child receive the gift, and just getting the package isn't receiving the gift. Now, teenagers, it doesn't mean go to your mom and dad and say, hey, I get to open my Christmas presents today. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, open the present that God has given you today. Because just holding it, just tucking it away, that's not receiving the gift. And I'm afraid many of us have done that. What we need to do is actually open the package. We got to open the gift. And see, that's what the scripture was saying, that he loves you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have life. That God came and said, I'm giving you life, but you'll only get life when you open the package and you believe. That Jesus is saying, just place your faith in me. And that's what Nicodemus would have remembered this conversation about being born again. He'd go, I get it. If I just believe, well, then I'm born again. If I believe, then I get life. And that's what I want for each and every one of us today. So the first thing I got to ask is, will you receive the gift that God has for you? The gift of life. But there's one other thing I got to say, is simply this, is when you open up that package, what you'll typically find is another gift. Because here's the beauty of this. When you receive Jesus, it is not like, well, you get it, nobody else can have it. It's actually quite the opposite. When you receive Christ, you start to understand the value of the gift that you've gotten, and the whole goal should now be, well, how do I give it to somebody else? See, it's a gift to receive, but it's also a gift to give. And this is what I know about many people who profess to be Christians, is they will also self-profess to say, I'm pretty bad at giving away the gift. That many people I talk to who have received the gift, they'll say, I love the fact that Jesus has changed my life. I love the life that I've found in him, both eternally and earthly. I love this life. But if I'm honest, I'm pretty bad at giving it away. Which is a shame, because we have the greatest gift. So we've got to give it away. So let me just, as I wrap up, let me help you give away this gift. The first thing I'd say is, if you want to be good at giving the gift of Jesus away, just go back to John 3:16. Just go back and remember that it said he loved the world. That God so loved the world. And think about this. How well do you love the world? And I know the world can be difficult to love, right? People can be difficult to love. It's okay to say amen. We know you're not talking about the person next to you. You're talking about somebody on the other side of the room, okay? The world can be difficult to love because we don't have the character of love that God has. That people aren't our creation, and most people aren't our children, okay? So I know it can be difficult. But I want you to think about something for a second. If you have found the greatest gift in the world that can connect people to Jesus, that if you get this, then if you're not willing to give it away, then I'd say you don't love the world. You might say you love the world, but think about it. If you knew somebody and you knew that they didn't have Jesus, and come the end of their life, they're going to be eternally separated from God. If you're not willing to say to somebody, I need to tell you about Jesus. If you're not willing to do that, then I would really question whether or not you love that person or not. I had an opportunity last night to look at some people and make sure that they knew who Jesus was as their Savior. It was uncomfortable to ask it, but I was like, if I love them, I've got to ask them. Do you love the world? Give them Jesus. It's that simple. If you love the world, you got to give them Jesus. And again, you might say, well, okay, but how do I do that? Let me give you three simple words that I say all the time. Connect, discover, respond. See, we see this connect, discover, respond in the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. It's right there. Then Nicodemus came to Jesus late at night. It would have been real easy for Jesus to say, dude, come back tomorrow. I'm going to sleep. We'll talk later. But Jesus said, no, I have an opportunity to connect with him right now. So I'm going to connect. If you actually go back and look at the life of Jesus, all of the stories about Jesus, it seems like all of them focus in on people, on individuals. That he was constantly looking at the individual saying, how do I connect with you? Even with the feeding of 5,000, thousands of people, it was, how can I give you a piece of fish and you a loaf of bread? Because I want to connect with you. So start connecting with people. Look at the people that you go to school with. Look at the people that you hang out with. Look at the people on your social media feed. Look at the people that you work with. Look at the people in your neighborhood. Look at the people that you go hunting with. Look at the people you drink coffee with. Look at the people that you're working out with. And just simply say, how can I connect with them? And once I connect with them, how do I help them to discover who Jesus is, what he had to say, and what his will is for their life? That's what Jesus did with Nicodemus. He said, this is who I am, this is what I have to say, and this is what I want out of your life. So when you're talking with people and connecting with them, help them to discover who Jesus is, what he had to say, and what his will for their life is. Now, you can do that by opening up God's word. You can do that by bringing people to church with you. You can do that through having doing ministry together. You can do that through just hanging out. It doesn't have to be opening up God's word, okay? That's a great way to do it, but it can also just be a simple conversation, and in the midst of the conversation, you can ask somebody, do you know who Jesus is? It can be in the midst of the conversation that you say, do you know God's will for your life? When they're saying, man, I don't know what I should do with this. Well, let's talk about God's will for your life. And it starts by first believing in him and believing he's got a great path for you. Help people connect, help people discover, and then help people respond. See, that's where we often drop the ball. We're unwilling to make the ask. Most of us would be like, well, I'll let people know I go to church. I'll let people know I believe in Jesus. I'll love people. I'll serve people. But oftentimes we drop the ball when it comes to making the ask. Because they're just like, I don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I know what to say. I don't know how they'll receive it. Do you love them? Because if you love them, you'll make the ask. And you'll say, here's a gift I want you to receive. And when you do that, you give people the greatest gift in the world. See, the greatest gift you're going to give to somebody this Christmas season, the greatest gift you might possibly give somebody this Christmas season is the gift of eternal life. That's the gift to give. So that's the reason I go back to the beginning of this sermon and I ask you, have you received the gift and have you given the gift? And as we go into this time of response, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm not just going to spend 25, 30 minutes with you and just lay it out there. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. I'm going to ask you to draw a line in the sand today and say, I'm doing it. And it might be just to receive Jesus. It might be to say, you know what? I've been coming to church my whole life. I've been religious my whole life, but I've never had a relationship with Jesus. I've held on to the box, but I've never opened it. Today you can open it. You might again say, well, how? Believe. It's that simple. You believe. Believe in Jesus. Now, when you put your belief in Jesus, there's some natural responses that come out. A response of repentance where you tell God, I'm sorry and I want to walk away from my sin. There's a natural response of confession where you say, I believe in Jesus. There's a response of baptism where you're saying, I'm surrendering to Jesus. You can do all of those things today. You want to get baptized? The baptistry is ready. We have clothes. We'll take care of you. You want to spend some time repenting? I'd encourage you to come up and take communion. Communion is something we do to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, to remember the gift that he gave us. And on the front of the stage, there's bread and there's juice, and it's prepared in a safe way so that you can spend some time with Jesus and tell him you're sorry. Maybe it's confessing today, just saying, man, I just believe. Receive the gift. But then also make a decision to give the gift, because some of you have received it. And today, during this time of response, you need to say, these are the people I'm going to go to this week, and I'm going to share my faith with them this week. Won't you stand with me? And we're going to sing this song. It's a new song for us, but it's a song that, it's a Christmas song. It's a song called Emmanuel, which is all about God being with us. So I want to challenge you, respond. I'll be at the Connect Corner. If you're ready to respond to Christ, I would love to pray with you. Jesus, we come before you right now. And Jesus, we ask that you move. God, help us to respond to what we've discovered and receive you and give you. In your name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.